You're with Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everybody. We are heading into the third and final hour of today's show. And joining us for this hour, we have the host of the podcast, Cafecito Break. Her name is Rose Angel Perez. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Hi, Misty. How are you today?
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, I know, right? We made it. It's Friday. I'm doing very well. And I'm really excited to talk to you. I just became aware of your podcast and it's fantastic. And you just celebrated 10 years. So congrats on that. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I was checking out your podcast on YouTube. I was like, oh my God, how, you know, the first thing I asked myself is why did it wait so long for our roads to cross? And then I thought,
I know,
I'm grateful that our roads have crossed. I feel like we could be like having a lot of conversations.
We could be. That's exactly how I feel too. You know, when Stacy suggested you as a guest, I was like, okay, cool. I'm willing to have conversations with just about anybody. So it's like, all right, cool. So I checked out your podcast and I'm like, wow, how did I not know about her already? It's crazy. So I'm really excited that we're finally getting together and that our paths have finally crossed. When I was listening, I was, you know, checking out your podcast, listening to your podcast. And in one of your recent episodes, you spoke on the insane level of censorship that you faced. Since you said that you've watched a couple of my shows, you may or may not already know I'm a free speech and press freedom activist. It's what I've been doing for a long time. And very specifically, I've been active in the Free Assange movement. So censorship is a cause that's very near to my heart, something that I'm very actively combating against. So can you speak on the censorship that you faced over the past 10 years?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I just wanted to pause and acknowledge that you are raising awareness for Assange, because I feel like that's a conversation on the state side that has kind of gone silent, as I myself can probably even attest that I focus so much of my energies really on the mandates and censorship. You know, we kind of have to like, there's so many battles to be fought, and that is an important one. That is such an important one, because it I feel like it's when WikiLeaks, you know, released that big drop that, you know, a lot of people say changed the whole election outcome. I mean, but it really did add this awakening piece and an importance to his role, whether or not people argue if he's a true journalist or spy, but he released information that awakened the masses. And he is a critical person that I think should not be forgotten. And I feel that, you know, his work is important. I know that he recently got married. I was watching the 60 Minutes special that they did from Australia, and just the whole thing. And to answer your question about the whole censorship, people don't realize the journey to opening your mouth and feeling comfortable in a space like this, where there is so much criticism and there's a lot of opposition. And the opposition usually comes first and foremost from your inner circle, especially when you dare to step out professionally, whether it's because you're stepping out from the democratic aspect or activism, or your realm is professional television on people like my realm was. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting unfriended by my inner circle because of my point of view. And that's a level of censorship that hurts, that maybe I don't take the time to mention, as well as the level of censorship in the algorithm, because people, you know, everybody's getting censored in some way. That is whoever is out there, even if they're the quote unquote average person speaking their mind and sharing these insights, they're getting censored in some level. When you do it as a life point and you see your work just get squashed or deplatformed, like Instagram, 9 times deplatformed on Instagram, all within the span of October 2021 to December 2021. And and up until that point, I had never gotten a strike. Now I was getting taken down just by merely watching somebody else's live video. Or let's say that I was trying to communicate to you because you and me are connected on the back end, and you're my friend in the back end, and I'm sending you something, I got taken down for that. So it was really painful to experience those deplatformings, because in a sense it's an unpersoning. And then at the same time, it comes coupled with people in your own community saying, it's great that Instagram took you down, you're poisoning the algorithm. And you have to really have a tough skin for this. Yeah. So for all of the freedom fighters, for people like yourself, Misty, my hats to all of you. It is not easy to be out here in this realm where the squeaky wheels who are saying a lot of caca are getting the attention.
Yes. Well, and I think it's also very difficult too, because, you know, if you dare to speak outside the lines, if you dare to like dip your toe outside of the official and approved narrative, people will come for you. And it's not, it, like you said, it's not just the censorship from big tech, which is to be expected. I mean, they're trash. So that's kind of to be expected. But when it also comes from, you know, people in your community and stuff like that. And when it seems like we live in a time now where you can't have a difference of opinion. You can't just be like, okay, we disagree on that, but we're still friends. And, you know, we can, you know, still, you know, have a life together or whatever. We've gone past that point where now if you disagree on one thing, then we have to completely discard each other. And it's just so silly. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, especially through COVID. I mean, we saw people disowning family members over a difference of opinion. And that's really, that's a hard thing to watch go down. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that there were many, and there are still, right, many layers of betrayal that we have all been experiencing as a global collective. And it includes this aspect of censorship and why freedom of speech, why your show, why these shows here on TNT are so important. Part of my work and what I try to do through my platform, because I used to work for MTV Networks, is you realize when, you know, it's, you realize what I took for granted when I was in cushy corporate MTV world. Yeah. I didn't really understand until I started producing my own content and went indie, the pluses that happen when you're indie, but then you don't have the big budget, you know, right, that I was playing with when I was, let's say, line producing and working on Cribs and Teen Cribs. You have so much money to play with, industry money, and you kind of take that for granted. And then you don't realize, for example, let's say I put a show out from that realm. I don't really know the inner workings of how, when it goes out, you know, how the algorithms work, why that, who really sees it. And when you're in the independent side and you're watching it very closely, you see the favoritism, you see how things are rigged, you see how there's a system. And this system is sort of what I started seeing very crystallized within the, maybe some of the political people who have been more recently sensationalized in politics, like let's say AOC in New York City. The way she was being managed felt to me like she was a celebrity. And yes, that gave me red flags right away. And people don't understand the crossover between how all of these worlds play together, collide. Maybe they play together in a way that's not being beneficial to the masses. And why somebody, let's say Assange, is an important conversation to bring up today, and he's over there, so we don't really think about him too much.
Well, he's very soon going to be over here, unfortunately, it looks to be anyway. You know, the Supreme Court decided not to hear his appeal. And so it's going back to the magistrates court and then to Priti Patel, who will almost certainly rubber stamp it. And he will most likely be extradited to the United States pretty soon. And hopefully that'll wake some people up. But, you know, when you talk about AOC kind of being managed as a celebrity, that's something I talk about all the time, because she feels like an Instagram influencer who got elected to office. And I talk about the kind of celebrity aspect of, we've turned politicians into celebrities. I literally call them celebritians now, because it's more about like a branding exercise. And it seems as if these people are elected into office and then it's mainly just about maintaining the status quo and just pacifying the masses. They just want to, they throw you the pretty platitudes. I don't know if you've noticed, but recently they've all started talking about like Medicare for all again, after 2 years of not talking about it, because it's an election year, it's suddenly very popular to talk about again. So it's this really, it feels gross, like watching it just feels really gross. It's not the way that politics is supposed to work. We're not supposed to idolize these people. We're supposed to hold them accountable. And that's really lacking right now.
Such a great point. I think that something that has bewildered me, and at the same time I appreciate the curiosity of young people, because I remember when she went to that famous elite party wearing that beautiful gown and all of the conversation that happened around it, you know. And I come from the heart of hearing a lot of progressive democratic left-leaning conversations. And I'm used to that. You know, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to throw away my friends because we think differently. Right.
Right.
But I had a student who was really curious, like, oh, look at AOC. I'm so proud of her. Like, she's showing the elites what she really thinks by having the audacity of wearing this dress, you know, tax the rich. And then I listen because we need to listen. I think that something that I hear a lot when you get critiqued is, people who are, you know, talking about liberty or medical freedom or press freedom, they're always bullying the left, or they don't really care, or this and that. So I'm learning.
Right.
And I listen. And then I also appreciated that I had the opportunity to share back. And what I said to this young lady is, but look at the optics. At the end, how will this story be written? Look at this picture. Look who is standing in the shot. Look who's wearing masks. Look who is not wearing a mask.
Yep.
She is considered elite. Don't be fooled that just because she looks like you and sounds like you and might come from your block, that she is you. She is a symbol.
Yes.
She is a symbol. Now, does she have power? Is she intelligent? Hey, I think that she has, I never give up on people. I think that she has a capacity to affect change if she wanted to, but I think that she's also handled, and I don't trust it. Because all I see from the party is a lot of symbols, a lot of loud talking. Some points are raised that affect community wellness. There are things that I always want to for my community. I that's something that's important to me. I have an activist heart. You want to see your community live well, but I want everyone to live well and to have that opportunity, not just these very profiled and very targeted kind of talking points that are coming from some of the politicians. I feel many of us are very dissatisfied in the landscape of politics. And again, why it's important, why this show is important. And women to have a platform to speak without, you know, it being like gossip.
Yeah. I don't really do gossip. It's not really my thing.
I tune in once in a while, you know, when I want to like have my little brain like go on a vacation for a second.
Yeah.
But I get you.
And I think that's fine.
This is important.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Listen, we all need a bit of mindless entertainment every now and again, especially doing what you and I do and being so, kind of aware of the things going around us, because it's depressing. You know what I mean? Like it's really dark and it's depressing, and we're up against a lot. Like this is not going to be an easy fight. It's not been an easy fight. And so I think every once in a while, if you want to turn on some trash reality TV or something, then if that's what you need to do for self-care, then do that thing, whatever it is you need to do to take care of yourself. Cause it's really difficult to be in the space and to watch the things. And I tell people all the time, once you know, you can't unknow. And it sucks. Like it's really hard to be aware of the things that we're aware of, to see the things happening around us that are happening. I mean, COVID has been just devastating, watching all of these people be, you know, pulled into this mind game and manipulated, and, you know, the way that fear has been used to control people. It's really depressing. I want to actually ask you about COVID, because, I mean, you've been really active in the freedom marches and New York and all of that stuff. So I'm always curious, did you immediately know that COVID was, you know, not what they were claiming it to be, or did it take you some time to kind of come to the awareness?
We knew. Our podcast was already reporting on the coronavirus December 2019. We didn't know what it was, obviously, right? Because you're getting the optics, you're hearing things from China, you're hearing murmurings. And but we had also been, you know, covering stories about vaccine and watching those famous documentaries that some of the alternative media put out there, Vaxxed, for example, and you start to learn about all of these other things and what feeds what, and who's sponsoring what favorite television show you may be watching.
Yeah.
And it, like you said, once you see, you cannot unsee. I think that, you know, we are breaking chains, right? As a Latina woman, first generation, traditional Catholic, I'm breaking many chains, the chains of the, I'm choosing a different description for my connection to God, right? I'm choosing a different way of communicating and wanting to do it independently, and hoping that I can communicate effectively things that I'm learning, not to convince the masses of anything, but just, hey guys, I've sort of been in this industry for like 20 years. I've seen patterns. It's hard not to unsee the patterns.
Yeah.
And when we get talking points from maybe religious sources or your very trusted politician, and everyone's just trusting that one person, or you got the a religious leader saying, God wants us to protect each other. It is the brotherly thing. I know I'm paraphrasing here, but you should get the jab. I see that as, I don't know if this person is aware or not, but to me, that's Satan's working. Satan, it may be using that person, or that person may be well aware of what he's doing.
Right.
But if you really, truly are a servant of the people, whether or not you believe in God, right? Everybody got their choice to communicate, connect how they want to. Just leave my choice up to me. Harm none. Now, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with that responsibility? You think you're greater than everyone to recommend a product that people, for so many reasons, were objecting to? And that creates a lot of conflict in your inner circles. I can confess that even within my mom, she was devastated with me for a whole week. I'm a traditional, like, mama's girl and papa's girl, like, stuck at the hip. You don't disappoint, right? And when she looked at me, she goes, well, papa said that, you know, everyone should get jabbed. That's what the good Catholics would do. And I got very angry. It was almost like that was a defining moment for me to stand on my little tiny Liberty Square. And she, but with, you know, within that religious aspect, right? And she, and I insulted her. She was so sad for a whole week. She felt like I wasn't being a good obedient Christian, and this is the part that people don't get about programming. And I say this with all respect. One has to question, right? Like, I love, let's say, reading the Bible. I may not believe everything that's in it, but I love the way I feel with some of the stories. I know I have felt like something that I can't explain that's bigger than that. I mean, it could feel like God, but I don't know what it is. So I'm not going to take that joy away from someone. And some people look at the Pope as that person who represents God on earth.
Yeah.
And when I said that to my mother, I crushed her. It was like, who are you to say this to me about this holy person on earth? How many people took the jab because that person said to do it? It takes so much to feel tempered and not have like an uncontrollable reaction to something like that, because every fiber of your being knows this is wrong on many levels and this is not of God.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is I hadn't even really thought about that aspect of it. I'm not a religious person. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. But I had not even considered the way that religion was used to manipulate people and to force decisions. That's really disturbing. That's really disturbing to think of that aspect of it. Because there were so many tools that were used against people. Like you said, it's the greater good. And don't you care about your neighbors? And I mean, I've been called a grandma killer. I don't know how many times. You know what I mean? Because I refuse to get vaccinated. What, you want to kill my grandma? No, that's ridiculous. Don't be silly. Yeah. I had not even considered the religious aspect of it. That's really disturbing. Wow.
Yeah. And then the opposite side, there was a story that I posted recently on my Instagram feed, and it came from Puerto Rico about, I believe he was within the Catholic, a bishop within the Catholic Catholicism. And he spoke out and he got reprimanded. I mean, many people who tried to speak out and they opposed the religious narrative, they got reprimanded or ousted, just like we know doctors did and nurses or healthcare workers, anyone who has spoken out in any field. And what did the great big global collusion do? They squashed the ability for people to communicate, people who were coerced or bullied or shamed to stay home. And some people did. Some people did not leave their homes for months. I've met some of these people.
Yeah.
They were too afraid to leave. And what do you do if you're home? You're going to try to communicate within your social media. Whether or not you communicate on social media to use social media, maybe it's just your family and your friends. But they took that ability from us. People don't realize how important this conversation about freedom of speech is, and how we all have a responsibility to be a squeaky wheel about it. Because when our favorite person that we like is so suddenly MIA from our favorite, you know what people don't do? People don't go and search for them. Most of them don't. And I'm like, have we become so lazy as a society? Like a lot of people still to this day, hey, how come you're not on this platform, that platform? I've been on those platforms for years. Maybe not active because, you know, I'm a one person. I can't feed every algorithm, but you watch to see where people are starting to go to. They still go to the main channels. So that's another part of programming that I try to speak about. Like, hey guys, like we all gotta make a commitment to support independent creators, independent artisans made in America or made wherever, you know, you feel comfortable supporting something that's wholesome, homegrown. Yeah. Politics and news and people like yourself and this entity of TNT, this is important. This is our treasure, right? Like not even artists are safe, or comedians these days to express.
So true. Yeah. I mean, they make it so difficult. Like you said, it's not even just that people aren't willing to go look, but they do make it extremely difficult to find people like yourself or people like TNT. They shut you down algorithmically. They kind of force feed certain channels and certain narratives and legacy media and all of that stuff. So it becomes increasingly difficult for people to find those kind of squeaky wheels, those kinds of people who are daring to speak outside the lines and offer alternative viewpoints. So I actually want to pick your brain about this a little bit more, but we do have to take just a quick break. So hang out for just a couple minutes, everybody. We'll be right back right here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Jesse Zirawell is talking about.
I wholeheartedly stand behind that, and I've been really galled by the increasing rhetoric about how this is what's happening in Ukraine is part of the Great Reset agenda. And some people even going so far as to say that all of this is staged or phony or orchestrated. What I just read is your response to that, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit because I think it needs to be addressed and put in its place.
It's being amplified by the media discourse, of course, Western media discourse, which are eliciting sympathy for Ukrainians because they're white, they're blue-eyed, they're blonde-haired, they look like us, they dress like us. I mean, this kind of language is actually being used, which is, I mean, it's racism.
Jesse Zirawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You have the right to know. The right to know about culture. The right to know about the economy. The right to know about technology and to know about sports. You have the right to know about education and politics and the weather. You have the right to know what's happening abroad and in your backyard. But above all else, you have the right to know that this right is under attack, and we must work to protect it. Because in order to be free, we must be informed. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Misty Winston. We are joined this hour by the host of the podcast, Cafecito Break, Rosangel Perez. And before the break, we were talking about, the kind of the difficulty that that we face in finding alternative voices, alternative sources of information, the way the algorithm is used against us and kind of is used to force feed us a certain narrative. And so I wanted to pick your brain on this because I feel like, I mean, we live in a time of unprecedented censorship. Just recently, we saw what I've been calling the RT apocalypse, where an entire news network was kind of wiped from the internet. Prior to that, we had, they took a sitting president off of the internet entirely. Like, I mean, listen, I'm no Donald Trump fan, but the idea that big tech can erase a sitting president from the internet is terrifying to me. There's a Julian Assange quote, and I'm butchering it because I'm paraphrasing here, but where he talks about that censorship is always cause for celebration because that means that the people in levels of power have to care what people think and they have to work overtime in order to control the narrative. So what do you think? What do you think about this ongoing censorship that we're facing? Because I feel like we're in a really precarious time. But I also feel like, what Julian Assange says is right. And we are kind of we're winning kind of. I mean, we're losing the information war, but we are making a significant enough pushback that they do have to now care, what we're talking about and what we're able to, have discussions about.
That's a great question. And also, I love the way you described everything because I agree with you. I think that this is good, what we are experiencing, this heightened level of censorship, this deplatforming of all of these entities that people cannot unsee any longer. So when they didn't care when Donald Trump got deplatformed because many people hated him, like a bunch of my friends, I made a video practically hysterical on it. I mean, talk about Latina dramatics. It was probably, do you understand what just happened? And yeah. people were like, oh my God, girl, relax. No one can censor Donald Trump. He still has the podium from the White House in which he can speak from. And I'm like, these are responses that people give you that are not even rooted in a full thought. to say that makes no freaking sense because I could have a podium. In fact, I have a microphone in my home I've got several and I use it. And guess what happens? Like the other day when I said, okay, let me try a new creative tactic and do a parody and release that on YouTube instead. And it's in Spanish and it didn't last 10 minutes before it got removed and got a strike.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing though. It's not about no. And it's, but really though, it's not about Donald Trump. It's really not, because yeah, sure. He's still the president. He still has cameras pointed at him everywhere he goes. And he still has a podium in which to speak. And he has the White House press briefing room and he's got a press secretary. All of that stuff is true. It's not about Donald Trump. It's about the fact that they were able to completely censor a sitting president. And so if they can do it to him, they can do it to all of us. That was the point. I think that was the broader point that people were missing. You know, the fact that they were able to do it to a president is insane. That's nuts. And so that opens the door. That's the Pandora's box. That opened it all up where it's like, okay, everybody is fair game for censorship now. That's what terrified me.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that quote, I'm going to be paraphrasing too, when, you know, they're like, oh, the first they came for such and such, and then they came for such and such, and I was not paying attention. And then they came for me. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They always go for somebody who's reviled, you know? It's easy to hate Donald Trump.
Ugh. Yeah, I try to tell people, I'm like, all of us are getting censored. Like, how many times does the Facebook algorithm, or even messed with, how many times have we seen articles about Facebook tweaking their algorithms in a way where maybe some people are getting on their feed, receiving great information, positive, happy-go-lucky, and the other person might be receiving death.
Yeah.
And, you know, how does this affect one's emotions?
Yeah.
And it's like, hello, community members. This is a tool to be used, but understand what it is. Don't allow it to trap you. We've gotten more comfortable. Someone put on my feed the other day. It was something about, it was a response to one of my posts, something about defending each other in public, right? And handling the problems privately. And someone posted, yeah, but you know, it's a lot easier to say how you feel and share it in a post on Facebook than to communicate it face to face privately with a friend. And I mean, think about that conditioning. Now I can trace that mindset to when I was working at MTV and there was this, you know, I'm part of a set, we're interviewing this young person and they're about to make a confession. It's a double confession. It was not only I'm confessing in this program, I'm going to come out to the world that I'm gay. And I'm also going to tell them that, you know, I had a relationship with my best friend who also, and I'm like, wait, but you know, but as he's telling us the story, he's saying something about, oh, my best friend and his girlfriend. And in my head, I could have gotten fired for this, but it's like, I just want you to know that it feels comfortable where, you know, just us, a couple of us in this dark room, and the little light on you, and you're talking to the camera and you're sharing your story, and maybe it's going to feel cathartic for you to do so. Remember that who you share in your story, it will be affected by how you say and what you say. And your best friend, his girlfriend, may not want to be outed in this way. Millions will be tuning in. I think that people don't finish the sentence. They don't really even complete the thought to imagine what can happen after I express myself. Because so many of us are like, go girl, or hey guy, express yourself. That's right. Let everyone know how you feel. But are you taking someone down in the process that you know, it's like, that's when awareness comes into play.
Yeah, that's such a good point too. And I think that social media has really made things very strange in society, because you're right. So often people will post things on Facebook that, you know, And I'm not like, I'm not telling people what you should or shouldn't post. If you have a comfortable community on your Facebook page and you feel like you can, let loose and really, speak your mind and all of, that's great. I'm not telling anybody what to do or not to do, but I feel like it has damaged interpersonal relationships where what you're saying is so true that people are so much more comfortable putting everything on main than they are having conversations with their friends and family. And it's this really weird divergence from humanity in a way. You know what I mean? Like we're no longer having conversations face to face. It's all, put on these public forums. And you can't take that back once it's out there on the internet. The internet's forever. And so it's this very final kind of exposing of yourself. And it's this really strange thing that social media has really opened up for us.
Yeah, it's stuff that you can not unsee, and how many people have gotten in trouble, whether we say they should have gotten in trouble or not. Some things are worth digging up, especially when it's been people who have harmed others. But when it's stuff like that has to do with growing pains, I feel like, so many things have become sensationalized. My sister and I, we have a little metaphysical shop in Brooklyn, and sometimes we have conversations with young people, and you know, as you can imagine, especially the last 2 years, the conversations about depression, anxiety, and stress are high for everyone, yeah. Especially the young people, and then even the danger territory conversations about them feeling so overwhelmed that they want to not live on this planet anymore. That, yeah, to me is dangerous. COVID, the mandates, the lockdowns, the inability to have to be social, not having an encouraged communication to go to church, but you know, liquor stores were open, and I have my glass of wine. This is not about like what's right or what's wrong. It's just, hey guys, let's see the bigger picture here. This is something that was, excuse me, you know, I'm in Brooklyn and I can't stop the fire alarm.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
I apologize.
That's all right.
But yeah, even the fire alarms are as expressive. Maybe they can cut through the censorship crap that we're all experiencing. People are waking up, and that is the great news. People know that something is wrong. They feel it in their core. And at one point in my reporting and my discoveries of what was happening with COVID, what was happening more was just random people pulling me on the street and telling me these stories that would just like chill me to the bone. So when people would approach me that had this, wanted to be almost mean to me or antagonizing, like, why do you think that way? I think that we should have mandates, and I think that everyone should take the vaccines. How come you see it differently? And at some point I just got tired of citing sources and saying how much I've studied this. They don't care. Nobody listens to it. All I simply said was, I cannot unhear the stories that people are telling me directly that's happening to them or their loved ones after they've taken the jab. Now, most of these people have no idea of my chosen field or conversation pieces that I like to share on my podcast. They don't know this aspect of me. They just know, hey, that's that person. I see her in the street, friendly ear. And when people don't have friendly ears, it doesn't matter. They seek someone who will listen.
Yeah. Yes. I think everybody wants to be heard. I think that's universal. But the whole COVID has been kind of a catch-22, because you're right. I think that a lot of people, I think COVID has really snapped some people out of, the fog that they've been living in. But I also think that it's made some people regress. A lot of people who, you know, it's so funny. They used to be like, my body, my choice. And now they're like pro-mandate. And I'm like, wait a minute. wait a second. That doesn't go together. Like you can't, it's very strange that I even have to explain why I don't think that a medical procedure should be mandated. I don't think that you should be forced to inject something into your body. I don't know why that's controversial, frankly. It's a very strange thing. If the injections work, then convince me, show me the evidence, show me the proof. I would be very easily persuaded with actual scientific evidence, not like the Fauci, I am science thing, but you know, actual, if you show me that they actually do work. And the problem is that these governmental institutions and the mainstream media have created this environment of distrust. And so, you know, when you lie to people over and over and over and over again, they're going to stop buying your crap. And that's where we find ourselves, as our government and our media institutions have lied to us so much that people are automatically distrusting of everything that comes out of them, justifiably so, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is a brutal time that we're living in. I was watching a video. I wish I could have remembered the source. It wasn't from the United States, but it was in relationship to, okay, well, if I'm harmed and I took this jab, or, you know, what can I sue? And the response is, you took this willingly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's crushing. It's like,
it's victim blaming.
It's like you had the opportunity to research. It was no secret that this was an experimental thing. All the information was out there. And that's the thing. Because if you looked a little bit like you did, like I did, you would have maybe seen or heard or read enough to at least have a question mark.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Many people who had that question mark still took it.
I know.
Now, look, at the end of the day, that decision is a private decision. That's my point. I shouldn't be like, now we're in a society where everybody wants to know my vaccination status. What the heck is that about? That's twisted to me.
Yes. Yes. And I feel really bad for people who, you know, maybe did do the research. And like you said, they were coerced. A lot of people were left with very little options. I mean, when your job depends on it and you have to feed your kids, you're put in a really difficult position. And it breaks my heart, honestly, that so many people felt so pressured and like they were, you know, left without any other option other than just to comply. I can't imagine what that must feel like and how, you know, devastating that must be. And how, I mean, nobody should be coerced into something like that. Nobody should be forced into making that kind of a decision. It's sick. Like, that's very twisted. In my opinion, like that we live in a society that allows for that kind of thing to happen. It's just so sad. And I think that there are a lot of people, and I think there are also a lot of people who, you know, bought into it at first and went and got the jabs, you know, one or two, maybe, or even three. And I think now they're starting to come around. And I think that there's a lot of people who are living in an immense amount of regret. I think some of those people are having a difficult time even like being vocal about that and coming forward with those stories, because it's really difficult, first of all, to admit that you've been duped, but then also to, you know, say it out loud and come to terms with that. That's really hard. And this whole thing has just been, it's been a very abusive process all around. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, the fear manipulation and the gaslighting and the lies and the, you know, coercion and all of the stuff. It's been really, I mean, I talked to a trauma expert, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He's amazing. Professor Anthony Zinkus. Hi, Zink. I love him. And we were talking about the impact that this has had on our kids. Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't, like, it just devastates me. And I heard one of your episodes where you were talking about the kids and the damage that this has done to them. And you even got emotional, because it is really devastating to think about all of the stuff that we've put our children through over the past 2 years.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Whenever I've lost it in the last 10 years, like, you know, those moments where you kind of wish those episodes don't get heard has been whenever I've covered something in relationship to children, whether the mandates, the masking, the debate with the kids and the where the boys should be, biological boys should be in girls' bathrooms, like all that stuff yeah. Drag queen story hour, like it's just, you know, good intentions not thought out completely.
Yes.
And there are many perspectives to still consider in the room that are not being considered. We haven't, to your point, really even adequately defended, protected the children through all of this COVID nonsense. And hey, I'm not blaming anyone. What I'm saying is, however this went down pretty crazy to the way that it knocked us like out. I almost feel like it was like a bowling ball that was shot at us, but maybe many bowling balls from all directions, because it was many agendas coming through at the same time and many ways of coercion. There were even community people that were hired that were maybe influencers within the yes. nonprofits. You know, people don't know about all these, like you couldn't go freaking food shopping where there being a vaccine commercial. My favorite is when there's vaccine commercials after or before or during a commercial break where I host my podcast. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's like the devil wants to just taunt me. And you have to breathe it out, because if you give it your fire and that fuego, it's that's life force that can feel diminishing. And this, it's so hard to feel vulnerable and worthless. And just to circle back to something that you said, I think that people who have felt, who took the jab or the boosters and they feel duped, I just want to just say to you that there is no judgment here, and there's no judgment from anyone from that represents these kinds of things that we're hosting, and from the anyone who's for choice and medical freedom, you know, even with covering the New York Freedom rallies, there are people who are vaccinated. There are people who go there double masked. There's no judgment. We love you. We're there for us. We're there for you. We're there for all of us. We're there for freedom.
Yes. Yes. And I feel like because I do what I do, I recognize that, listen, everybody's susceptible to propaganda. All of us, even me. And I obsessively study this stuff all the time. But even we all are. It's very pervasive in this country. They're very good at it. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly which buttons to push. They know how to manipulate you. You know, they've spent a very long time researching and studying the best ways to go about doing this. So I understand. Like, I really do. Like, there is no judgment. There genuinely is no judgment. For me anyway. I mean, there just isn't. I understand. I get it. It's very easy to, you know, to be manipulated. It's unfortunate. And I don't want anybody to feel bad or silly or stupid or, you know, like to feel guilty because you got duped or any of that stuff. You know, again, we're all susceptible to that. It's not your fault. It's just, you know, it's just the way that things are in this country. They're very, the way that they're able to control the narrative and force things through, and really just the kind of, the way that I think that the biggest thing is, especially with COVID, is that everything came on very quickly, and it was, you know, the way that they were able to stifle conversations and to dictate the conversation, you know, that we weren't allowed to have discussions about alternative treatments. You would get demonetized and banned. So it was really kind of a giant collective effort to force a way of thinking onto people. So there really is no judgment. It's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's really not your fault. You know, that's just the way. The problem is that it's going to happen again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's going to happen again. And we need to be more mindful of the tools that they use against us, because it's coming again for sure. There's no question about it.
You know, there was a post that I saw a little bit earlier about new cases detected of COVID-19. Oh, yeah. Here it is. New York City saw a slight rise of COVID-19 infections in the past week. It's like they're, like you said, they're already trying to, like, I gotta breathe. I gotta go to Omings. Om.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I think that there was conversations. I was listening to my friend Jesse Zurawell's show. He hosts a show that's on right before mine, and he was talking to Ian Davis, and there's conversations now about a potential new variant in China, and like China's locking down again. I don't know the validity of all that. I haven't had time. Oh, I was listening to his show right before mine, so I didn't have time to independently verify all this, but it is going to come again. You know, and the problem that we have with that is that they've learned a lot about the first round, and they're going to take what they've learned and use that against us. And, you know, the WHO now has this global vaccine program thing that they're trying to push through, which then gives them all of the power and authority to decide what is and isn't a pandemic, how to handle it, what lockdowns we use, what medicines we use, all of that stuff. You know, we're really in a very... like I think you said this earlier, there's a lot of things coming at us all at once. It's hard. It's hard to keep track of everything, and I think honestly that's intentional. I think to keep us all off balance. But you know, it is going to come again, and I just hope that we can be ready for it this time on a bigger scale. I think we can. There has been a significant pushback. I mean, you've covered the protests in New York City. I mean, has there been a pretty decent turnout at those?
It depends on what the day is, but the connections that have manifested throughout the United States and globally from just being squeaky wheels, we got this covered. Like, the algorithms will continue to censor the platform, give us strikes, but guess what? They can't take away our connections to one another, because now we know who's who. We know who's speaking. Right. I think that, and we all have to recognize we all have the power to be digital warriors and soldiers and support your favorite content creator, your favorite independent. Yes. It takes a lot of work, energy, sacrifice, no sleep. I'm pretty sure you hardly sleep.
I don't.
This is an exhausting endeavor that's done because we love humanity.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I do think you're right. I do think that there has been a lot of, I hate the term awakening because it sounds so cliche and I hate woke culture. But I think that a lot of people are kind of waking up to what is happening around them, and we are making those connections. And I think that's really important. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure that you can tell everybody where to find Cafecito Break, because it's awesome. Seriously, I'm so depressed that I'm just now learning about it. So tell everybody where they can find you on all of the social media stuff so that everybody can find and support your work.
Thank you, Misty and TNT Radio, for this opportunity. A pleasure. And you can find me on cafecitobreak.org. You can check out all the past episodes. I'm trying to energize Rumble, so you can find me Cafecito Break on Rumble, and you will find placeholders for English only and Spanish only content, separate channels, of course. And also on Instagram, Cafecito Break 10.0, you have to spell out the entire word. I am shadow banned up until the 10.0. And when you find me, you will get a little pop-up that says, "Are you sure you want to follow me?"
Oh my God.
So if you dare, I welcome you. And if you want to check out my crazy news feed, check us out on Cafecito Break Oficial on Telegram. Thank you.
Oh, I can't believe you have a little warning on your Instagram page. That's amazing. Okay, so everybody go and support Rose Angel's work. Seriously, the podcast is fantastic. I am depressed that I'm only just now learning about it, so I have a lot of content to go back and catch up on. I managed to get like a couple months back or whatever, but there's a lot of content I have to go catch back up on. And I would love to have you back on. I think, again, we could have a lot of really interesting conversations. We do have a lot in common. So I look forward to that for sure. So everybody, please go check out the work that she is doing, and then I will be back on Monday at 3 p.m. with another host of amazing shows. I have a lot of really cool guests coming up next week. I don't want to hype anybody because honestly, I'm afraid that I'll forget somebody that's amazing and then they'll be mad at me because I hate doing lists. So just tune in on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'll be here as always, and have a good night, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to TNT Radio.
Bye.